That was absolutely beautiful. Amen. And Jeff, what a wonderful job leading the choir. And I said it before, I'll say it again. We got the greatest, biggest little choir in all the parish. Boy, I tell you, they good, boy. They love the Lord and they sound beautiful. And I know they're doing it with a pure heart and doing it for the glory of God. So we thank God for Brother Jeff and the choir and JC and Katie. If you have a copy of the Word of God with you this morning on this Mother's Day, I want to read a couple of verses and touch on the faith of a mother this morning, the faith of a mother. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're just going to read verses 10 through 15, and I want to speak to you this morning on the faith of a mother. Chapter 3, 2 Timothy, verse 10 says, "Now you followed my teaching." Paul is writing to Timothy as a young minister of God. He says, "Conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord rescued me." Paul tells Timothy, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. He goes on to say in verse 13, "But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however," he tells Timothy, "continue. Continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood, you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ." Paul's writing to Timothy. He's telling Timothy to endure hardships and sufferings for the sake of the gospel. He talks about evil men and imposters that are going to grow worse to worse. And then he challenges Timothy in this passage of scripture to continue, he says, in the sacred writings. In verse 15, "that able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ." Timothy learned these things from a child. He learned them from childhood. If you was to back up and just flip back over to chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul just very clearly and specifically acknowledges where these teachings came from. Not only from the Word of God, but the very foundation that molded and shaped Timothy into the man of God that he was. Paul says in verse 5 of chapter 1, "I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well." Paul goes beyond just an experience of Timothy knowing he was saved by the grace of God, but he goes all the way back to the foundation that was laid. He had a grandmother named Lois and he had a mother named Eunice that laid the foundation, that taught Timothy the holy word of God since he was a little bitty boy, raised him in the word. Folks, I want to tell you what we need in America more than another president that'll get in and replace Biden. We need children in the home to have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ instilled in their hearts. Folks, I want to tell you, politicians are bought. They're compromised. A lot of them are get in and start out good and come out evil. But I want to tell you, a woman in the home of God teaching a child the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is more valuable than anything on the face of this earth. We don't need things that we think we need to change society. What we need is children coming up in the admonition of the encouragement of the teaching of the holy scriptures of God implanted in their hearts. Nothing can teach someone how to stand against wickedness and darkness and ungodliness like a person who is saved by the grace of God, absolutely is sure that they're saved by the grace of God, knows exactly what the Word of God teaches, and then stands on the promises of God and the power of God's Holy Spirit, trusting God, to get them through this earthly life. Because I'm telling you, folks, nothing else is going to do it. I can promise you that. You're either going to succumb to the wickedness and the godliness of this world, or you're going to take what you've learned according to the word of God like Timothy, and you're going to endure persecution and suffering and ridicule and all of the attacks of the world and the flesh of the devil come against you, and grab a copy of the word of God, knowing I've been saved by the grace of God, and stake my claim on this fact: greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. A mother's faith is convictional. We see this right here in chapter 3, verse 15. From childhood, you have known the holy writings. Timothy's grandmother, Lois, and mother, Eunice, in other words, started teaching Timothy the holy word of God as a young boy. Folks, I want to tell you, these are women with conviction. They was convicted of one thing, that Timothy's only hope in the day and age they lived in was to teach him and raise him in the word of God. They were convicted of this. You think about this for a second. Now, folks, I want to tell you, we think that things have just got worse and worse and worse, and rightly so it has in this world that we live in. But don't go think that they was having a cakewalk back then when his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice were convinced and convicted in their own minds that they had to raise Timothy in the word of God. Folks, I want to tell you, it was bad back then. Rank paganism, false gods, sexual immorality, secular philosophy and Greek philosophy and unknown gods, sexual immorality, philosophy, they understood and were convicted that the only way for Timothy to survive as a young boy coming up was to be grounded and rooted in the sacred writings of the holy word of God. And the same word that convicted them to raise him in the word of God was the same word that convicted Timothy to live godly in the present day and age he was living in. Folks, I want to tell you, on this Mother's Day, we ought to have the same convictions that his grandmother and his mother had, that our children and grandchildren's only hope is the good news and the hope of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ planted in their hearts, receive Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, and be convicted by what the word of God teaches and live their lives according to God's holy word. This is the answer, folks. It's not rocket scientists. You know, we sing that song all the time. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I'm going to wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I'll stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Do we believe that here this morning, folks? There ain't nothing out there outside of these doors except the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that's able to give someone a foundation that can stand against the onslaught of wickedness and ungodliness. I tell you what, they had a faith which was scripturally sound. It was convictional, but it was scripturally sound. They were grounded and rooted in God's holy word. Folks, I want to tell you, do you think our kids and grandkids need something right here? Number one, that's scripturally sound. Sound doctrine. I hear people all say, "Oh, you Baptists, that's all you worried about is doctrine, doctrine. Doctrine, doctrine." You know what doctrine means? It means sound teaching, correct teaching. And the only correct and sound teaching there is sound doctrine. The good training and exhortation for a child to be grounded and rooted in the holy word of God. This is the only sound truth there is, folks, because this is the only truth that will last for eternity. Sound doctrine. They were scripturally sound. They taught Timothy the sacred word of God, and they stuck to the word of God. They didn't get outside of the word of God. They were scripturally and doctrinally sound as they trained Timothy in the word of God. Folks, I want to tell you, if ever we needed kids with sound doctrine that are going to be raised in church and point them towards the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, it's now. As soon as they hit high school, and now even elementary, all of this ungodliness and this wickedness is coming into the schools, even as kindergarten on up to junior high, to high school, and then they get on campuses, and all of these secular philosophical professors and teachers are teaching them the doctrine of demons that's straight from the pits of hell. We need kids that are raised in the admonition and encouragement and exhortation of the Word of God to know exactly what they believe according to the Word so they can spot a hypocrite and a phony the moment they step on a secular campus. This is what they did. They prepared Timothy. They got him grounded and rooted in the sacred writings of God. And I want to tell you, because of that foundation, Timothy himself began to recognize the difference between secular philosophy and rank paganism in his day and age. How much more we need it now? Well, boys are supposed to not know what they are, and girls are not supposed to know what they are. And then someone gets in between and calls them a binary. They just don't know. They're just floating in the middle and don't understand. We need to go back to Adam and Eve and the fall of man and the cross and the old rugged cross and a stone that was rolled away and the resurrection of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who can save anybody that calls upon His name, but call the disgusting abominations on this earth what they are in the presence of a holy God, and children who can spot the difference between what's biblical and what's unbiblical because they have been trained in the holy word of God. And yet, folks, it's coming in like a flood. And the reason most people can't defend themselves against the secular philosophies and the ungodly wickedness of this world is because they're not grounded and rooted in God's holy word. Folks, I want to tell you, we better get back to getting in our homes and teaching our children about creation and Adam and Eve. Where animals came from, where man came from, where woman came from, where creation came from. God spoke and said, let there be light. God spoke, and there were stars in the heavens. God spoke, and the water divided the earth. And God created all things for His glory, for Him and through Him. And we need to get back to getting our kids doctrinally sound so they can defend themselves against all of the wickedness of this world. It's a faith which is scripturally sound. It's a faith which is savingly sure. Right here in chapter 3, verse 15, Paul tells Timothy the sacred writings which are able, what? To give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Not only was Lois, his grandmother, and Eunice, his mother, saved themselves, they had a deep conviction in their own souls that Timothy, their grandson, and their son needed to be saved himself. There should be no greater burden on the face of this earth than in a parent's heart, a mother's heart, a father's heart, that their children be saved by the grace of God before it's too late. If you yourself are saved by the grace of God, you ought to have this conviction in your own heart that you don't want to depart and go to glory without your children. One godly man wrote this. He said, there is no greater burden on earth than that of a godly Christian mother for her children to be saved from their sin and follow Jesus Christ wholeheartedly. The child they caress temporarily on earth, they long to embrace in heaven for eternity. Listen to this. There is no greater burden on earth than that of a godly Christian mother for her children to be saved from their sin and follow Jesus Christ wholeheartedly. The child they caress temporarily on earth, they long to embrace in heaven for eternity. Isn't that the burden of all of us as parents who are saved by the grace of God? That if our children are saved, they walk close to God. They follow God wholeheartedly. And if they're not saved, that we are restless in our spirits until we see them saved by the grace of God. We've enjoyed them temporarily on earth, but folks, it goes beyond that. We ought to desire to spend eternity with our loved ones in heaven forever. A mother's faith is communicated. They spoke clearly and often to Timothy about the sacred writings of God. Paul tells Timothy in verse 14 of chapter 3, he says, continue in the things that you've learned. Where did he learn them from? His mother and his grandmother. Where did they learn it from? The holy word of God, the sacred writings. And from that childhood, he says, you have known the sacred things, folks. I want you to get a hold of that phrase, from childhood. They didn't wait till Timothy was 17, 18, 19, or 20 years old to start teaching him the Holy Word of God. They started teaching him from childhood. From the day he was born until Paul writing this letter, they taught Timothy the Holy Scriptures of God. Folks, you don't wait till a kid grows up to start teaching him about the gospel. You've done missed the most important part of their lives. Why? Because I want to tell you something. Anybody here who's over about 45, 50 years old knows you can't retain and you can't remember like you used to. Got a lot of you saying amen. Looking at the one next to you, thinking they're older than you because you're 70 and they're 71. The most important of a person's life is childhood, folks. That's when they can remember and pick things up. And I'm telling you, they can digest it. They can understand it. And I want to tell you what, they can retain it a whole lot better than when they get older and older and older and sin begins to creep in. Temptation begins to creep in. And then they find themselves 17, 18, or 19 years old with no direction and no discernment because they're not grounded and rooted in God's holy word. I can remember when Erica was pregnant like it was yesterday. And actually, boy, it was a lot of times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I tell you, I remember it. I was there. I remember every time she told me she was pregnant. I remember every time the child came out. But I want to tell you something, folks. You might think this is strange. I can remember her in her last trimester. I mean, like AT&T, reach out and touch someone. She was out there. And I can remember taking the Bible or just quoting scriptures to her stomach while my children were in the womb and singing hymns and Amazing Grace and Because He Lives to those children in that womb. Folks, and I want to tell you, my children may not be where I would like to see them at spiritually right now, but I want to tell you, I started at a very early age, even while they was in the womb, quoting scriptures and singing hymns to her stomach as they were tossing and turning around in there. You might say, well, Brother Marley, that's pretty strange. Well, there's probably a lot of strange things that I do in life, but I tell you what, I'm not ashamed of quoting scriptures and singing hymns to my children in the womb. I thank God that I had enough biblical sense to start at a very early age, even before they came out of the womb, to start instilling the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ into their lives. Folks, and I want to tell you, I'm standing on the word of God, train up a child in the way that they should go when they will get old. They shall not depart from it. Maybe you're here today and you've trained your children in the ways of God. Maybe you're here, you've lived a godly example in their presence. Maybe you're here and you have a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter. Hey, I'm with you. We are praying and trusting God that that seed that was planted and watered one day is going to come to fruition and we'll see them saved by the grace of God. Because of the prayers and the example and the indoctrination that we instilled to them while they were still yet young. As a child, a mother's faith is communicated. He says, continue in the things that you have learned and from childhood you have known the sacred writings. A mother's faith is communicated by personal education. And folks, I want you to think about this. Whatever obstacles there were in Eunice and Lois's life, whatever hardships they were in that day and age, I find it interesting that the Bible don't say a whole lot about Timothy's dad. For some reason, it says about Lois, his grandmother, and Eunice, his mother, training him in the ways of God from childhood. But whatever obstacles were there, whatever hardships were there, there was one thing that stood out in Lois and Eunice's life. Teaching Timothy the Word of God was priority over anything else. I wonder if we got spiritual midgets coming up and being raised because everything else in the world is priority over teaching our children the Holy Word of God. We live in a day and age where tablets and phones and social media is consuming our children's minds and consuming their time, even as infants coming out of the womb. The first thing we teach them is to how to get in a corner on a telephone or a tablet and spend hours and hours and hours and hours on social media. I wonder if we'd make a bigger impact on the communities that we live in and even in our homes and the school systems if we spent more time training our children in the ways of God, opening up the Word of God, spending less time on social media and instead of on Facebook, getting our face in the book and teaching our children the holy writings of God. Folks, this is the foundation. We live in a generation right now where social media and all the sports of the world and all the sports figures and all the rap artists and all the rock and roll artists and everything are consuming children's minds, and their minds are being corrupted and led away by all of the secular activity of the world instead of filling their minds with the holy word of God. There is no substitute for the indoctrination of the holy word of God into our children's minds and hearts and lives, folks. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Personal education. Eunice and Lois took God's commandments seriously. These were women who knew the sacred writings. We're not talking about the New Testament at this time. We're talking about the Old Testament writings of God in Eunice and Lois's life that they taught Timothy. What did they teach? Well, I would be willing to bet they taught for sure what we would call the Shema was a Jewish prayer. They prayed it in the morning. They prayed it in the day. It comes out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. They taught Timothy the sacred writings. You'd go back and read that, and you would see the power and the impact of this that this would have, not only in their lives, but to indoctrinate and teach Timothy the holy writings. This Shema is what Jewish people prayed in the morning and they prayed it at night. What did they pray? Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 through 7. Listen to this carefully. It was not only read and prayed by Eunice and Lois and transferred to Timothy, but they obeyed it as they prayed it day and night. You was to go back and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. You can look it up later. You can turn there now. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. This is what they was teaching Timothy, I guarantee you. The sacred writings of old. The Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your young sons. This is what they were doing in Timothy's life. They were teaching Timothy, the Lord thy God is God. He's God all by himself. There is no other. And they found it imperative and important that they take time to teach Timothy the holy word of God. I am commanding you today. They shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. You shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. This is what they were teaching Timothy. They were teaching him not only to pray day and night, but to live for the glory of God and put their faith in the one true God who is God all by himself. There is no other, Timothy. They was teaching him not only to pray, but they was teaching him the holy word of God morning, noon, and night. I want to ask you a question this morning. What's consuming this young generation's mind? Are they focused on God morning, noon, and night? Or is all the activities of the world and the wickedness and the ungodliness and the pleasure and even sports drives them? They're consumed morning, noon, and night with the secularism of the world and the philosophies of the world. Because I'm here to tell you as your pastor, you can't pray and study too much of the holy word of God. I wished I had a dollar for every child that's not in church that told me, well, the reason I'm not in church is because my mama and my daddy made me go to church all the time. They made me study God's word. They made me go to Sunday school. Well, praise God, this pastor is siding with a mother or a father who thought it was important to raise you in church in the word of God. If you're looking for sympathy from me, you're barking up the wrong tree. Can't you see? You got a mom and daddy that taught you the word of God and brought you to church, gave you your first drug problem, drugged you to Sunday school, drugged you to prayer meeting, drugged you to Sunday morning worship. Well, then praise God. At least you was getting high on Jesus. I don't buy into this, folks, this philosophy of people that ain't been in church and they blame their mom and daddy because they always made them go to church. Well, I tell you what, if that's your attitude here this morning, you need to turn it around and get on your face before God and ask God to forgive you. That's how you feel about a mama or a daddy that raised you in the holy word of God. You ought to thank God for that mother or daddy. Ask God to forgive you for going astray and not serving Him faithfully, and thank God that your parents raised you and trained you in the Word of God. I want to tell you, it's a faith that's not only communicated by personal education, it's a faith that is communicated by practical demonstration. Paul says in verse 14, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned." In other words, Eunice and Lois didn't just, his mother and grandmother didn't just teach him the holy sacred writings of the Word of God. They lived it in his presence. They lived it in his presence. Continue in the things you have learned, he says in verse 5. Listen to this. Chapter 1, look at chapter 1, verse 5. He says, "I'm mindful of the sincere faith in you. Sincere, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice." Not only did Timothy recognize that his grandmother and his mother were godly and they lived what they were preaching, the Apostle Paul recognized it. What are you trying to say, Brother Morty? I'm telling you, it's just as important if you're going to teach your children the holy word of God that you live it in their presence. They don't just hear it. They see it as a child. This is what Timothy saw. This is what the Apostle Paul saw in Eunice and Lois's life. These women wasn't playing around, folks. When it come down to it, they were living what they were preaching. And it was recognizable not only by Timothy as a grandson and as a son, it was recognizable by the Apostle Paul himself that these women sincerely loved God's word to the point where they obeyed God's word. It was obvious they were not only spending time with God, they were living their lives obeying God. One godly writer said these words. He said, "The greatest stumbling block to a child is to have parents who teach them to live godly and holy in the world, and they themselves live ungodly and worldly in the home." Did you get that? The greatest stumbling block to a child is to have parents who teach them to live godly and holy in the world, but they themselves live ungodly and worldly in the home. Just what do our children and our grandchildren see in us? A mother and a father who preach to live godly and holy in the world, but practice it in the home. They see the holiness and godliness and righteousness of Jesus being worked out into our lives underneath the roof in which they grow up under. We're not just preaching and teaching the word of God to our children. We're demonstrating it. We're living it out in their presence. You know, this is a scary question, folks, but I wonder if someone would go to my children and say, "Hey, did your dad live godly in the home?" I imagine they go down the line and talk to all five. They're going to get all kind of answers. Now, I slipped up and I made some mistakes, folks. But I want to tell you, I hope and pray that they can get an answer that would glorify God. Yeah, Dad messed up, but when he did, he come back and said he was sorry. He repented. He got it right. He tried his best to live according to God's word. Was he perfect? No, but he tried his best to live it in our presence. And when he did mess up, he asked for forgiveness and apologized and got things right in the presence of God. I'll tell you what, folks, children are not looking for perfection, but I tell you what they are looking for on this Mother's Day. They're looking for honesty and transparency. Honesty and transparency. We're all going to slip up as parents. We're all going to make mistakes, and none of us are going to do it exactly perfectly right. But I'll tell you what impresses children is when we can apologize and ask for forgiveness when we do mess up and live as godly as we can according to God's word. Mother's faith is commendable. First, we see the lasting influence about a mother's faith. Paul writes in chapter 1, verse 5, if you look back there, he says, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Your faith as a godly woman ought to not only have a strong influence on your children, it ought to have a lasting influence on your children. It's not an up and down thing. It's something that they see as consistent. And that faith is commendable because that witness and that testimony to your child makes a lasting impact on their lives. Now, folks, I think about, I said earlier, about my mom loading us up in a vehicle with no husband and bringing us to church. Well, after she got married and had a vehicle. But I remember that. That made a lasting impact on my life as a young boy. A mother that would get six kids ready and then one was born and we had seven and get us all seven ready and bring us to church. And how that had a lasting impact on my life as a young boy. Who knows? I don't know where I would be if it wouldn't have been for the seeds that were planted. The loading up of that vehicle and going to church. I know one thing, it made a lasting influence on my life. It impacted me for the rest of my life on this earth. It impacted me that it was important to raise my own children in church and the Word of God and to be there as often as I could. It should be a lasting influence of a mother's faith. Paul says, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. I want you to think about this. Paul is writing to Timothy, who is a young pastor. He commends the lasting influence and the strong influence that his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice had on his life. But Paul writes to Timothy, probably from Macedonia. Most theologians believe he was on his way to Nicopolis. And Timothy, he left in Ephesus to oversee the church in Ephesus. So think about this. He's on a missionary journey. He writes probably from Macedonia on his way to Nicopolis. Timothy's in Ephesus. And he brings up the fact that he remembers the strong influence and the impact that his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice had on his life. What are you trying to say, Brother Marty? I'm trying to tell you that your Christian testimony as a mother should have a strong influence on your children and your grandchildren, and there should be a lasting impact that one day, if they don't recognize it now, they can look back and say, boy, my mother, my grandmother, I tell you what, they loved God. They were in the Word of God. I can tell you what, I watched them go to church. I've watched them help people, minister to people, and you are making a legacy and an impact on your children and grandchildren's lives as time goes by. Just what are our children and grandchildren going to say when we pass? Folks, I want to tell you, it reminds me of the old boy had a twin brother that died. The twin goes to the preacher and he says, man, I'll give you $1,000 if you tell everybody my brother was a saint. Well, the Baptist preacher got to thinking about it and he says, man, that just wouldn't be right. He says, well, $1,000, that's a lot of money. He said, okay, I'll do it. Well, the problem was his twin brother was drunk. He was obnoxious. He was very rude and cruel to people. He gave people fits all over town, and everybody knew he was ungodly and lived an ungodly life. So he gets in the funeral, and he's thinking, now, how am I going to work this out? So he gets in the pulpit, and he begins to preach his funeral. His twin brother sitting on the front row, he gave him $1,000 and promised him he'd say his brother was a saint. And he gets to preach, and he said, now, we all know, oh, so-and-so was a drunk, he was obnoxious, he was cruel, he was rude, he terrorized everybody in town, but he said, compared to his twin brother, he was a saint. Just what are our children going to say about us as mothers and fathers when we're gone? What type of legacy are you leaving? To your children and your grandchildren as a godly woman. Now, folks, I want to tell you, my mind goes back to Miss Beulah Toops. I've shared this testimony before. She got saved when she was, I think, 76 years old in church. was a deacon's wife, taught children's church, headed up the WMU. And she was sitting in a revival meeting in Golden Meadow, Louisiana. An evangelist came and was preaching a message during a revival at Golden Meadow First Baptist Church. Some of my first preaching was in that church. She walked the aisle with tears in her eyes. She said, "Preacher, this church is going to think I'm crazy. My friends are going to think I'm crazy. My family's going to think I'm crazy. But," she said, "I've learned how to do church. I made a profession of faith when I was a child," she said, "but I'm lost and on my way to hell. The Holy Spirit of God convicted me that." She said, "I just learned how to do church. I taught WMU. I taught children's church. I'm a deacon's wife." She stood up before the church, got saved, got baptized. Some of the people in the church got mad at her. "You embarrassed your husband. He's a deacon. You embarrassed some of the church. You were supposed to be saved all these years. You're confusing people." Knowing what happened, she made a clean break between religion and a saving relationship with Christ is what she done. She finally understood it wasn't of works. It was by grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone, and got saved instead of playing church. Ms. Beulah Toop begins to witness to her grandchildren and her children. She was in an elderly home on a fixed income. 70-something years old, Ms. Beulah Toops would take a cane and live several blocks from the church. Sometimes we'd pass by the side road just to see. Sometimes in the middle of July, her makeup would be running down her face and she'd be walking and had a stroke, crippled, walking with that cane to church. She started witnessing her children, grandchildren. They come in and out of her apartment. And I'm telling you what, now, Mama Beulah, if you're going to preach Jesus to us every time we come, well, we're just not going to come visit you no more. She said, "Well, there's the door, because when y'all come into my apartment, I'm going to preach Jesus to you." She began to make an impact. Whether negative or positive, she started begin to teach her grandchildren and children that she got saved by the grace of God and courageously, unapologetically begin to share the gospel with them. I want to tell you something, folks. There's a lasting influence about a mother's faith, about a grandmother's faith, and it has living importance of a mother's faith. I want you to think about this. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, "Let a disobedient husband be won without a word by the behavior of their wives." Verse 4, "Let the beauty of a woman be hid, the hidden person of the heart with imperishable quality," listen to this, "of a gentle and quiet spirit." Of a gentle and quiet spirit. Here's the picture of a good godly wife and a godly mother, folks. That gentle, firm, yet courageous attitude towards Christ and His Word and the holy writings of God, but yet a gentle and a quiet spirit, listen to this, "which is precious in the sight of God." Did you know that this morning on Mother's Day? A gentle and quiet spirit is precious in the sight of God. You're going to impact your children and your grandchildren in one way or another. And I want to tell you, you'll get God's attention with a gentle and a quiet spirit that's precious in the sight of God. It is of utmost importance, in other words, folks, that we have godly women who are training children in the ways of God with a gentle and quiet spirit and point them towards Jesus, if they're not saved, to be saved by the grace of God. This is the way God's designed it. I think about the 25th president of the United States of America, McKinley. There's a story of President McKinley, the 25th president of the United States, life, and it says when President McKinley heard that his mother was dying, he wired home saying, "Tell mother, I'll be there." His mother was dying. He sends out a wire, "Tell mother, I'll be there." The message was headlined by the American newspapers because he was the president. And after it was headlined by the American newspapers, Charles M. Fillmore was moved to compose a hymn that was moved the hearts of millions of people in the country. Charles M. Alexander, the great gospel singer, sang it around the world after it was written. He sang it on his evangelistic tour with Dr. R.A. Torrey, that great man of God. No other gospel song ever written, said Alexander, brought so many men to conviction and decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. It has been sung with convicting power in more than a score of languages. Following are the words of this famous soul-stirring song. You may remember it. When I was but a little child, how well I recollect, how I would grieve my mother with my folly and neglect. But now that she is gone to heaven, I miss her tender care. O Savior, tell my mother, I'll be there. Tell mother, I'll be there in answer to her prayer. The message, blessed Savior, to her bear. Tell mother I'll be there, heaven's joys with her to share. Yes, tell my darling mother I'll be there. Nothing can replace a godly woman in the home, folks. Philosophy, secular convictions, secular activity, nothing can take the place of a godly mother in the home. If you've had a godly mother, or if you still have a godly mother, would you be able to say when mother passes and enters into the gates of glory, tell mother I'll be there? Not because you're trying to ride her coattails into heaven, but because you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ yourself, that your godly mother has challenged you and pointed you towards all the days of your life. You know, I say this all the time, folks. You can't ride the coattails of mama or daddy or grandmother or grandfather into heaven. You have to be saved by the grace and glory of God. The flip side is I heard the testimony of a preacher preaching one time, and he said he got time for the invitation. A young girl come up to him broken during the invitation, and she said, you know, I fear hell, and I understand the gospel, what you said, brother. I was convicted during the sermon, but my mom was not a church-going woman. My mom and I were close. We were like sisters. She was my best friend. She died, and I don't think she knew the Lord Jesus Christ. I fear that she may be in hell. And if my mom was not in heaven, I don't want to go there. I want to go to hell and be with my mom. And I'm close friends with this evangelist. He looked at that young girl, and he said, Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for your sins. He wants to save you. But you're not going to be able to caress and love your mother in hell. There'll be no grace, no love, no mercy in hell. Why would you want to make it to when you can repent and be with Christ in heaven forever and ever and ever? Nothing can replace a godly mother who points their children towards Christ and teaches them that their foundation to get through this wicked and ungodly world that we live in is the Lord Jesus Christ and his saving grace. I don't know where you at in your walk with God. I don't know if you're that godly mother, not only teaching and pointing your children towards Christ and living it in the home and demonstrating it, but if you're not and the Holy Spirit of God has convicted you of that, then I pray today would be the day that you examine yourself and make sure first and foremost you're saved yourself, not trying to copycat your mother's faith, but have a true saving faith for your own self, and then make up for lost time. Begin to pour the rest of your life into your children, teaching them and pointing them towards Christ. And if you're a godly mother and you're here and you've trained your children in the ways of God, you have nothing to be ashamed of. If they're not in church serving God, they're prodigal, you just keep on praying that God will bring them back around and save them by the grace of God. And get other people to praying for them. Praying that God will go get them and get a hold of them and save them by the grace of God and bring them into the kingdom before it's too late. And maybe you're here this morning and maybe you were abused. You didn't have a healthy relationship with your mother. You was abused. There's some resentment. There's some anger. There's some bitterness. Come to Christ and let him empty you out of all that anger, that hurt, that resentment, that unforgiveness, and be saved before it's too late. And then take what precious amount of time you have left on the face of this earth and use it for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today, you've never prayed to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never repented and turned from your sin. You're convicted that you need to be saved and lay your life down for Christ. I'll be up front to help point you towards Christ. Brother James will be up here. Maybe you need prayer. Maybe you need encouragement. The altars are open. But folks, I want to tell you, those of you who have a mother here today that's living, I want you to take time. The Bible says, honor your mother and your father, for this is good in the sight of the Lord. Tell them today, if they're not here, call them and let them know how much you love them and how much you appreciate them. And honor God by honoring your mother today.